Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, broomheads. We're back. I literally just blanked on all the episodes that we're recapping today. I was going to try to make a comment, and then I forgot what the hell we're talking about.
It's okay. It's okay. I can refresh your memory. We did Cabaret and Under Pressure.
Okay. Mm. Well, I felt under pressure in that moment. Felt a little bit anxious. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in front of the class and I forgot my presentation. No.
It's like my worst nightmare. I have my first live stand-up show coming up and I've been having stress dreams about it. Specifically, I get up on stage and I'm like, oh my God, I like do not remember this my set at all. It's like,
oh. Yeah. I don't know what this says about me. I have stress dreams. Sanique, you know how much I hated basketball in high school.
Yes.
And looking back at it as an adult, I definitely could have quit and just like been okay with quitting. My parents would have been okay with quitting. But I did not in my teenage self feel like I could have, and I hated it. I, to this day, at 28 years old, have like stress dreams about basketball.
Really? Like, wow.
Basketball practice. And then being like waking up, and it's like, oh, okay. It's not your life anymore.
Question. Are your teammates from high school in the dream?
Yeah, like it's kind of really like it's pretty just like almost like a flashback type hypothetical dream type.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it happens enough. I'm like, this is I should probably talk to someone. Why am I having a stress dream about that? That's weird.
Wow. That's interesting. Yeah. Similarly, I don't know if I mentioned this the other day. So my birthday is coming up and I had a very traumatic experience when I was a little kid where I had a birthday party that no one showed up to when I turned like 9, I think. And it's like followed me since. Mm-hmm. And I because of it, I realized I don't throw parties. Like I literally never like outside of like the occasional sleepover when I was in high school and stuff. I never throw parties, like, as an adult, and I think I'm scarred from it still.
Yeah.
And my birthday's coming up, and I'm, like, thinking about – well, I kind of have to make a decision now because my birthday's the 17th. Today's the 6th, so yes, I'm going to do anything. Weekend, I kind of need to tell people now, like, you know. Yeah, but, like, I'm thinking about having maybe a small get-together here, and I'm scared because I'm like, oh, my God.
Girl,
like, it's stressful. I'm like, what if, like, no one shows up again?
Not to like
Evan's gonna have to get me a razor scooter to appease me. Like last time.
I want an easy bake oven, Mom. Come on.
No, I'm getting my birthday. Give me easy bake.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to add fuel to your fire, but that's definitely a fear of mine. Mm-hmm. Of just like, well, I'm assuming that everything is this way and it's never that way and I'm gonna be embarrassed. Like that's always my life.
Mm-hmm.
Especially I feel like I was the same way. I have a lot of I have some anxiety around my birthday because my mom when I was younger she would kind of host parties. Like it was never like a big thing and I didn't have like a massive amount of friends anytime. And I didn't, because I lived so far away, like, neighborhood-wise, like, I didn't see a lot of my friends unless it was, like, kind of organized things. So, seeing friends invited to a birthday party, it just didn't really seem that casual. And I remember my mom loved to invite people from different circles that I had friends. So, she would invite, like, my, like, 3 school friends, and then, like, my 1 neighborhood friend, and then some friends from church, and then some friends from Girl Scouts, and then, like, 2 random cousins. And then it was my responsibility to, like, be the host at like 8 years old and like entertain everyone. And I'm like, everyone knows me differently and they all know me from different circles. Like, it's like, they don't know each other. What if they all hate each other? And what if they think I'm weird because I'm friends with so-and-so and they think they're weird? It's
like, yeah. Though that's what's scary about the party too, the potential maybe party, is that I've never been like a, like one social group kind of person. Like, yeah. I've always kind of just like had multiple groups of people that I kind of move through, and which I think is a good thing. But then it also is like, shit, like, I have to like terrifying. Kind of figure out who to bring together. And I'm like, I don't know if I should take on this stress.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a lot.
But maybe I should do it and just like face my fear.
But I feel like we're at an age now that it's like, if you can't hang out with strangers at this age at like a group, like you're invited to someone's like apartment, like group invite, like if you can't be normal and like get along with their other friends, then that's on the people that you're inviting, not on you, you know?
Yeah, but I need to get over the first hurdle, which is them showing up.
Right. Right.
So, I was concerned about after that. It's like, I just need to get people to my house.
If you need me to like Skype in, I will wake up at any hour of day and I'll be there virtually.
Lauren, if no one comes to my birthday party, I'm throwing myself off my roof. Swear to God.
I'm done.
Okay. I'm done. I'm done with it. I just can't handle this. Like, this is 20. Oh my God, it is going to be 20 years.
Oh my God, the anniversary.
It's the anniversary.
Oh my God.
But anyway, now we know how I'm doing. How are you doing? Because that pretty much encapsulates where my brain is right now.
I'm doing triggered. Well. Also, I want to let our listeners know Sanique's birthday is on June 17th. So if no one shows up to her party, it doesn't matter, because I know all of our listeners are going to like flood your DMs and our Instagram aww. With birthday wishes. So
thank you.
Yeah, mark your calendars.
Like that might keep me from flinging myself off the
road. Yeah, because that would like make my life kind of hard with like having to like, what do I do with the podcast? Do I keep going? Do I do it by myself? Do
honestly, my roof isn't even that high up. I probably would just like break bones and survive it. Mm-hmm.
Well, glad that that's the circumstance. I'm happy. That makes me very very happy. Mm-hmm. How am I doing? I'm doing good. I am getting through my job. Found out this week that my summer holiday might not be starting when I thought it was going to be starting, and that's on my job for being assholes.
What? Wait, they can do that?
Technically, like it's my contract is through the summer, but it's a summer break, so I'm not responsible for like teaching classes because the students aren't in school anymore, and I don't if my classes, I don't give grades, I don't take attendance, I don't have any grading or outside classroom responsibilities. But ever since I told my school that I'm leaving and going to a different job next year, they've just been, you know, doing some petty betty shit, and it's annoying. So, you know, I'm getting through it, and it's fine. Silver lining, I'm getting paid an extra month longer than I originally thought, because I thought I wasn't gonna be working.
Okay, that's good.
So at least there's that. But otherwise, I'm doing well. Let's see. I'm enjoying the warmer weather. I'm a summer gal. I'm an August baby, so I love summertime. And even like my job work life is really shitty right now, but I'm just like not letting it faze me, and just like living in summer dresses and sandals, and you know.
Yes, and you can turn a summer look like that. You definitely like, thrive in the summertime.
Thank you. I like the
you always wear like a lot of like color and like very, you know, curls popping. You're just like
Girl, yeah, literally, like,
just like traipsing. I feel like you traipse in the summer.
Right now, I feel like my summer dresses now is like gonna be like my like 65-year-old like what was it called? Not the muumuus, the flowing chiffon, like they're almost like a house dress, but in like a classy
way. Oh, like a caftan?
A caftan, yes. Like when I think of like I'm like a younger version, like summer vibe of a caftan, but with summer dresses, they're just like flowy and effortless. Like I can't wait to be 65 and just be like thriving, you know?
Yeah. So. I think like 65 is the new 30.
Oh yeah. Like my full on
everything between 30 and 65 is just 30. I mean, no, it's all backwards. It's like you're 30 and then you're 100 and then you're 30 again when you're 65.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah. Checks out.
Doing well. Enjoying Degrassi. I feel like it felt like we were in retro Degrassi for a long time, and there were so many great moments, but I think watching Next Gen has truly just been like it's a lot of nostalgia. The song selection is just like, it's comfortable. It's like, just like slinking into the bathtub and a nice bubble bath with a glass of wine. Like that's what this feels like.
Yes, absolutely. I feel that. I, yeah, it is. It feels very familiar.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Speaking of which, Jimmy, do we want to sink into our warm bathtub of these episodes?
Cabaret, let's go.
Which, like, oh God, I know we can't sing songs. I really want to sing, like, I just want to do, like, one woman show of Cabaret right now.
I've never seen
I won't.
Cabaret, but I assume there's some snapping going on, right?
A little bit, because it is choreographed by Bob Fosse, so it's a lot of just, you should watch it. It's a great, I love that movie.
Yeah, I know
Liza with a Z.
Oh, okay, I'm in. Adding to my summer to-do list.
You'll love it. We'll be back after a quick break. But yes, we watched episode 13, Cabaret. Oh shit, I didn't write the air date down. Sometime in 2002, yeah. I think January.
No, yeah.
Ashley writes a song she plans to perform with Terry at the Degrassi Lunchtime Cabaret. But when Terry adds Paige, she grows annoyed when Paige takes control. Terry attempts to use her recent project on tarot card readings to convince Ashley to go with Paige's ideas, but Ashley refuses, upsetting Terry and Paige. Meanwhile, Emma performs an interpretive dance to advocate anti-poaching, and when Sean refuses to join, Toby steps up.
Oh man, wow. We're getting, let's see, I feel like when I first heard about this episode, I was like, nothing's happening this episode, what's going on? But like, there's a lot of like seed planting for like plot lines and stories to come. Hello, we're getting introduced to emo Ashley.
That's true. And you dark know, sided. It's already like dark side. Well, aside from like seeing that like dark artist side of her, her clothing is even starting to change already. Like she had one where she's wearing like this like full on black ensemble, like with a long skirt, and I was like, okay.
Going full on modesty.
What's going on? Modesty fashion blogger. Like, okay, that's different. But the episode starts off with Ashley. She's playing some sad white girl music on her piano, or while Terry researches tarot. She's like, researching like the oracle. So like all these kind of tarot, Ouija, all that kind of stuff. And Ashley's like, oh, that stuff is bullshit. Come over here, girl. Listen to my song. And this is a song that she wrote for the talent show, for the cabaret they're going to perform. And the song is so fucking morose. It's like, y'all are 14. Like, why are you have so many feelings?
Yeah.
But also you're 14, so you have so many feelings. Clearly.
Exactly. And it's like so, I mean, later on, Paige speaks for all of us in her views of this song, but like this song is so depressing and in like a non, like it's not fucking Avril Lavigne. It's not like,
oh, it's not Alanis Morissette. Thank you. It's not. Yes. It's like worse than that. It's not even Jewel. And like Jewel has some sad ass white girl songs, but this one is like, I feel like it's like you're approaching like Ani DeFranco levels of like depression. Like you're so sad.
This is not entertainment anymore. Like,
ugh. You know who she is? She's ew. Like Lana Del Rey could never. Lana Del Rey stole from Ashley Kerwin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just tell me how I can be.
It's like Lana Del Rey, like, again, there a producer need to be like helping and like working with Ashley to make this a bop. Because like it's just like so, it's so like non-song like. It's like, ugh, like it's just, I'm the
it's
person
like
that
the
like,
slowest song I've ever heard in my life.
And it's on like a fucking household piano. Like there's nothing catchy about this, like at all.
Yeah, because even when I think about like angsty music, there's still like, there's still something to vibe to. Like, okay, I think the closest I can think of is not, it's kind of, it's pretty angsty, but like Mazzy's Star. Like that kind of like 90s dream pop that is definitely slow and kind of like in its feelings. But like when you listen to Fade Into You, you still feel like there's still like you yeah. kind of move to it, you kind of like slick sway to yeah. it. You know, I could be at Lilith Fair and I'm just like, yeah, I'm like living a whole, having a whole moment. But then you listen to this song and it literally isn't the kind of music you just stand, like you cannot move. Exactly. There's no foot tapping, no nothing.
Yeah, it's very. Like it's like oh Ashley, you play piano for your church choir, right? Like that's your like music understanding. Like okay,
oh, just tell me how I can be.
She's just like I feel like Terry is just like Terry's so fucking over it. I loved her faces, but she was just like because again. Paint the scene, right? They're hanging out, like, having girl time after school. Terry's, like, surfing the net. Like they're trying to, like, do some, like, hot girl teen shit. Like, and fucking Ashley's over here, right, playing this depressing-ass song after school and being like, Tare, come on. Like, this song is great. And you have to, like, support like, your friend.
You're over here playing, like, Baroque folk music. Like, what the fuck? Like, why are you so... This is the age of, like, Britney Spears, and you're over here writing this, like...
Come on.
Over-the-top organ music.
And you fucking know. You fucking know that Ashley's over here being like, I'm the next Joni Mitchell. Like, Carole King, look the fuck out. I'm here.
Get out of here. She loves Joni.
Yeah, she...
Or she's like... But she's not, you know what she needs? She needs a more like of a touch of Kate Bush. Because at least Kate Bush would write stuff, but it was like, there was whimsy in it. Yeah. So it was like weird and kind of like depressing, but still like, there's like some theatrics to it. This is literally just music you listen to, like while you're having your Ophelia moment, just like floating in the river before you die. Like, okay, Ophelia, I see you.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. So, Liberty announces. Oh, so she stepped her pussy up because she's not bad at the announcements anymore. She's like got hat. She's like jaunty. Like she's very like she's got a whole character now. I'm like,
she's got bits.
Yeah, she's been practicing. Like Ashley's really been helping her. Like you know, bring out like her performance. So she's announcing signups for the cabaret, and Paige is like, Tare, like let's do something together. Like we're two hot chicks, let's like do a thing. And Terry's like, I'm sorry Paige, but like I'm actually working with Ashley right now. And Paige is like, okay, like I need to get in there to spice things up, because as you know, Paige loves to insert herself into things. She decides that she is the problem solver. She's like, oh, your song is boring, like let's like spice it up, like let me in.
And I think at this point I think Terry's like, oh, what is Ashley's name, like two chicks and a piano, or like
Oh, it's two girls and a keyboard, which unfortunate name because this is pre two girls, one cup.
Yep.
But like, it's all I could think about is like two girls, one keyboard. Like, ooh.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. That did not age well.
This was a more innocent time though. This is before that. So we didn't know
before
that format
our, like 13-year-old selves were Googling two girls, one cup.
I can't believe. Like, that will, like, when I think about the fact that there is a part, like, there, like, when I think about how, like, eras are split up in my life. So, like, there's pre-9/11, post-9/11. There's pre-COVID, post-COVID. There is pre-Two Girls, One Cup and post-Two Girls, One Cup.
That was, like,
in my life.
I had watched HBO After Dark, Cinemax After Dark. I had watched, like, porn on TV. I remember Two Girls, One Cup was the first ever porn I searched for, or, like, went to, like, an online porn site. And I was like, I don't know.
It also was one of those videos that, like, along with, like, did you ever watch the Mr. Hands video?
No.
It's, like, that guy who, like, had sex with a horse and he, like, died later. Like, oh, it's... Fuck.
Jeez.
It's that, yeah, it's side, like, of the internet that was like that period, because that was around the same time where, like, people would tell you about, like, okay, there's this video, and they're like, don't look it up. They'll look it up. But you had to. You're like, well, I have to look at it. Like, look at it now. Like, he told me about it. And now, like, I'm
the guy that took the mason jar up his ass.
Oh my God. I forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that flooding back into my memories. Jesus.
Like, yeah, just like literally those three videos are just like, again, being, like, rumored in fucking government, like, AP, NSL, and, like, fucking, like, what? Like, why do, who told me about this?
And yeah, then, I don't know who told me about it, but, like,
yeah,
you just know, and then you watch it, and you're like, whoa,
like,
life-changing moments.
Like, again, like,
I think I watched all of those videos in 1 year. I was like, wow. Yeah.
What the fuck?
I became a woman.
Oh, God. Yeah. I remember it was at that point that I was like, I remember that was the start of my, like, I don't know if it's FOMO. I have a fear of missing out on something and not knowing a reference for something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I remember that was definitely like, well, I was like, well, I have to know. Like, I can't be the person that, like, doesn't know.
I think it's a rite of passage for millennials of a certain age to have seen those videos, because you make reference to it and, like, you knew exactly what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And there are people listening to this podcast right now who are like, yes, I remember this. They might have blocked it out, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's in your memory now.
Welcome back. Living rent free.
Didn't know it was there. It's been lurking all along. I'm glad to bring it out. So she's like, let's make this thing a trio. And Ashley comes in. But Terry chickens out and she can't ask Ashley, or can't ask Ashley to let Paige. Sorry,
into there's the so band. Many people.
Paige into the band. And Paige is like, wow, what a little pussy. But Emma, on the other hand, she wants to do an interpretive dance about the environment, because of course she does.
Yeah.
But Sean is like, listen, I ain't doing that shit. Like, I like you. Like, we had fun. Like, we're dating now, I guess. But
yeah,
I have boundaries. But Toby overhears this.
That's not for me, you know? That's not my vibe. Right. That's not my scene.
And we have to respect that, like, our partners don't have to do everything we like to do. That's okay. Exactly. You know? Right. Yeah, like, I would never call Evan up on stage during the improv show, because he would be so embarrassed. Mm. He would hate that. So I let him stay in the audience, okay? Stay right there. So Toby overhears this, though, and he thinks this is a perfect opportunity to get closer to Emma. And he's like, I'll do it. Like, it's very, like, anything for Selena's moment. Like, literally, I love you, girl. I will do anything for you right now, including embarrassing myself just for the hopes that you might kiss me on the lips one day.
I know. Not only am I going to, like, volunteer for this, but I'm going to publicly show myself in an interpretive dance for the lunchtime cabaret about animal rights or whatever the fuck. Like, there's levels of embarrassment that should not have to exist, you know?
You're right. And Toby is like, if it's, like, embarrassment iceberg, we can't even see him. It is so deep. It's so dark down there. It's like, you can't, like, humans can't even go down there because it's too deep. But then here's Toby just swimming around the iceberg.
What's around, like, that corner?
Like, yeah, there's a giant squid down there. Get out of there. So Terry presents this, like, really whack ass PowerPoint. Sorry. A Lauren level PowerPoint.
Tell me why I thought of that.
I will, like, never let you, like, live that down, that fucking Motown PowerPoint.
again, that's like, that's a, I, when I think of like my, there's moments in my life where I didn't realize how embarrassing a moment was until I got, until later. Mm-hmm. And that is one of those moments where I'm just like, someone out there is fucking talking about that lame ass presentation still.
I doubt it, but we have. So I think self-fulfilling prophecy, perhaps.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, we've divulged all of our most embarrassing moments on this podcast, so I think we're really just bringing it up more than anyone else is.
Exactly.
But it makes good content, so here we are. Anything for attentions.
Toby's our idol. We love it.
Right? I would, deadass, I would do this shit. She does this, like, thing on the Oracle, and she's like, I'll now do a demonstration with the Ouija board. Which is not how you do Ouija. You just both put your hands on it. You don't just do one person pushing it around. It's like you both hold it and then you do it. So but I've never done a Ouija board because I watched The Exorcist, so I'm not doing that.
I never did the Ouija board because I thought it was of the devil and it wasn't allowed in Christian.
Oh, it is though.
Oh, yes. But I remember
I don't even believe in the devil, but like I feel like as soon as I fuck with a Ouija board, he will manifest. Right. Like he will just suddenly exist.
Right. Like, I would rather not know, you know? Like, if they've got information for me, I'd just rather live in the dark on that, you know?
Right. So she, like, channels his, Spinner's dead pet. And, Paige is like, you know, she's putting out feelers because, you know, our girl loves to scheme and scam. And she's like, Ashley, what do you think about the Mystic Oracle? Like, do you think it's real? And Ashley's like, do I believe it's real? Absolutely. She's always like out of breath. I feel like she's like, always. Do you believe it's real?
The breathiest of the actress.
She's like, do I believe it's real? My aunt actually, she predicted my grandmother's stroke, and ever since then, like whatever, she believes in it. She like yeah. She fully believes in it. And Paige is like,
But then she's like, okay. Is this the point when she throws Terry under the bus for like her abilities?
Yeah, she's like, when it's real, I do. I'm like, okay.
She's like, Terry's an Terry? Amateur. Like, bitch, what do you know? What do you know?
What are you talking about, Ashley? Like, go write another fucking song. JT is, like, going in on Toby, but, like, this is lame. Like, why are you doing this? Like, Emma has a boyfriend. Like, you're, like...
I know.
Really being the voice of reason to his very sad, sad friend. While this is happening, Terry is doing a tarot reading with Manny. And she tells her, you better watch out. Watch out.
The
yeah. Sorry, I was waiting for you. I thought you were gonna say something.
Oh no, I thought you were gonna say something, and then I was like, oh, it's probably the screen's probably frozen. So
we were there you just, go.
Thinking the same thing.
I oh, okay. So say. You have nothing to say. Okay, so so Paige asked Terry if she should join the band, like as like let's do like some tarot, right?
Yeah.
And Terry does some like little sneaky stuff with the card.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, looks like the Oracle's spoken. Paige is in the band, and Ashley's like, okay. Later, Ashley's complaining about Paige joining the band. And also she's like, Terry, you're fake. Like, the only reason why you knew about Spinner's pet's name is because he told us about it the other day. Like, I was there. Like, and Terry's like, oh, really? You were there? I was like, yes, bitch. We always hang out together. Like, you never hang out with anyone but me.
Terry didn't even try to hide it. She's like, damn it. Secret's out. Damn it.
She literally is like the Long Island medium. She's just like a fucking frog. Wait, no, she's Sylvia Brown. Oh, mm-hmm. Terry is Sylvia Brown from the Montel Williams show.
Exactly. Like this entire plot was crafted after Sylvia Brown. Like,
didn't I tell you that story about Sylvia Brown who told that family that their dead relative was like in water, and it turns out he actually had died in 9/11, like in the Twin Towers? On like television, she's like, he's drowning, he's in water, and they're like, oh, he died at Ground Zero. And then she just like awkwardly stares like, at them like,
oh, well, what about, is there another one? Maybe someone else is coming through. That's what they always say.
Yeah. So I love watching Sylvia Brown compilations on YouTube of her just being a terrible medium. She'd be lying to people. No scammer. So anyway, Paige and Terry are complaining about Ashley. And Paige is like, listen, like, you need to tell, like, Ashley, like, Paige really is, like, fiending to be in this band. She's like, Terry, you need to, like, stick up to her. Which is, I mean, is she telling her for selfish reasons? Yes. But also, Terry needs to stand up to Ashley, because Ashley's kind of bat boss her around a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So Ashley's like, sorry, Lee. He's like, I think we should keep this band a duo. Sorry. Like, I don't believe Terry's a fake. And Paige, I don't really like you that much. So we're doing my sad song. But just then, Manny is doing one of her other little lame ass acrobatics when she like fucking falls down and like busts her ankle. And Ashley's like, oh my God, Terry, you said that she's like in for a fall. Like, okay, Paige, like, you're in the band. Like, this shit's real.
I can't mess with the horribles.
All it took.
So, funny thing. Sneak, you know this about me. I fall. Like, I am a falling person. I have terrible balance. It's a burden I bear in life. And it's been a while since I've fallen. By fall, like, I mean, like, I'm not, like,
falling. I just knocked on wood. Let's hope you don't fall down somehow.
But it's not in the sense of, like, oh, like, I fall and I can't get up and I'm, like, severely injuring myself. But, like, yesterday I was I was at the bus stop and I was getting ready to get onto the bus. The bus was pulling up. I step off the curb. Would I tell you that, like, I fell so hard and so slowly. Like, I don't know.
Yo, nothing's worse than a slow motion fall. That should be embarrassing.
When you're like, it's so much more embarrassing because you're like aware of it. Like, you're aware you're falling. You're like, oh shit, I'm falling. And you're like, oh, I can't stop myself. Here I am. Like, I'm falling. And I'm telling you, like, this was a bus on a main road. There were lots of older Chinese people around me just like looking at me. That when stuff like this happens, I'm already sticking out because I'm a foreigner and I'm a tall, larger, like, everything about me is so much different than China. So, like, when something like this happens, the staring just, like, it's
intensifies.
Yeah. And I'm on a main road. There's, like, bikes going past me.
Question, like, I mean, obviously, I mean, you're also in a very, like, major, major, major city. Do people, when stuff like that happens, do people, like, what are the reactions? Is it just to stare? Is it to laugh? Is it, like, to help you? Like, what, like, or you just, like, fell and they just looked at you in disappointment?
It's not laughing, but I would say more of it's a staring thing. I think if I was, like, severely injured, I think eventually someone would have tried to help me. It kind of depends. Like, I don't want to generalize. I feel like I've seen it. It's like with any other society, like no one's, not everyone's going to, like, stop and help people. You know, a lot of people walk past. But as I was falling, I was like, I fell on my ass, like, and then I, like, and then, like, the force of me falling on my ass, like, made me, like, rock back and forth. And then, and I'm, like, trying to, like, gather myself to still get on the bus. And I'm, like, have to, like, roll over. And I'm, like, it was just a hot mess express. And I was, like, I just literally, you know how, like, awkwardly, oh, like, dramatic Manny falls in this scene? That was literally me. Like, it felt so slow that it felt fake, and it probably looked fake a little bit because, like, I literally was stepping off the
like
curb.
Jennifer Lawrence at the Oscars. She's like, I've fallen. Yeah, but gracefully.
I literally took, like, a small step down, and all of a sudden, like, the close-up of Manny's ankle was literally my ankle. I didn't hurt it. But it was that wobbly, like, jeez, like, how old am I? Gosh.
I'm so sorry. I'm laughing. It's
funny. I literally, as I fell and, like, I'm, like, rolling over to, like, get up off, like literally, like gathering my bearings, like, are you hurt? I was like, really? I, like, was talking to myself, like, really? This was it? Like, really? Like, you dumbass.
Hey, that could have been your meet cute. You never know. I think that more people should fall down because you never know who's going to extend a hand to help you up.
Oh my God, you're so right.
True. Or you're in Beijing and everyone just stares at you and no one helps you at all.
Yeah.
I would have helped you. If I was in Beijing and I saw a black woman fall down as a fellow black woman.
Thank you.
I'll give you a hand. I'll help you up.
Thank you.
I wouldn't just leave you on the ground like that. So Paige suggests that they call themselves Paige, Michael, Chuck, and the Sex Kittens, which I've been listening to Troy's Dunzo episodes on the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, yes.
I was like, well, did Paige just get back from, like, L.A. and she, like, saw the Pussycat Dolls and she's like, listen, this is in. This is going to be hot, okay? Like, we need to jump on this. I'm Paige, Michael, Chuck, and we are the Sex Kittens.
Yes. This is very much, yes, very much, like, let's see, it's 2002. Yes. Peak Pussycat Dolls era at the whatever the I forget the club
at the Roxy performed. I think Roxy, so before Roxy. They came out
yeah
like on like their record didn't drop yet mm-hmm. but like they're like at the Roxy
yes
and Brittany Murphy is dancing with them
yes
I actually also, just watched a video like with that
I
pretty funny.
Remember when Josie and the Pussycat Dolls the movie came out. And we were, like, probably in elementary school or maybe early middle school.
You need Josie and the Pussycats?
Yeah, sorry. Not the Josie and the Pussycats, not Pussycat Dolls. Yeah.
It should have been those Josie and the Pussycat Dolls, though. I have, like, to admit something. I've never seen that movie.
Oh, girl, I haven't either. But
oh, okay. Good. I'm in good company.
But also, it's, like, it's not a good movie. Like, it's not at all. But I remember it came out post-Spice World. So I love Spice World, had it on VHS. Like that was okay entertainment for me. But my mom, I remember, wouldn't let me go see Josie and the Pussycats. And I was like so disappointed. And I remember there's so many things that I remember as a child not being allowed to watch or not be allowed to consume that when I got older, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I need to watch this. And then when I found out that Josie and the Pussycats was like a terrible movie, I was like, oh, okay. I didn't miss out much. I'm okay.
I'll survive this. So Ashley gives Paige a recording of the song because she's like, okay, we're not doing that. Like, we're not doing that name. But here's the song, learn it, and we'll practice later, okay, bitch? And Paige is like listening to it with her like whole disc man, and she's literally just like, oh my God, like rolling her eyes. Like, this is so bad. And it's like, girl. Same.
You and me both, girl.
Or just tell me.
All I can be.
Her like, that you ask of me. I don't know why I'm giving her like a weird, like that's not how she sounds.
But that's the vibe that she's giving off.
That I am free. Okay, that's enough. No one wants to hear that. sorry. So Emma has to change the choreo. Because Manny busted her ankle and she's going to be the hunter now. But that means Toby's going to be the panther because Manny can't. Toby is like, nah, dude. Like, he's like, even I have lines. Like, he's like, I have to wear tights and like a leotard, which is always – I hate that trope at this point. Like, I don't want to wear tights. It's like, listen, dude. Like, you ever seen male dancers and how it makes their bulge look? Like, trust me, you want to wear tights. It's actually good. It's a good look. You should do it. Especially if you get the good ones that kind of support your butt.
Oh,
you look
great.
I mean, like,
we're fans. Listen,
you haven't lived. You haven't lived until you wore tights. but like, Emma's disappointed. So then he's like, okay, fine. Like, I don't want you to have to cut the dance. Like, I'll do it.
Right.
He's like, God, if she doesn't touch my penis, I swear to God.
Like, if I don't get some sort of physical contact out of this,
if I don't get an over the pants handy, I don't even know. What's the point? Toby's the definition of nice guy. She's like, I'm really just trying to be your friend, so you might
exactly
make me feel nice in my pants. Paige exit the bath. I'm literally gonna have to get a ticker. She leaves a bathroom stall, but in an outfit this time.
Every fucking time.
The girl's in the bathroom so much. She walks out in like her little outfit. It's very like early 2000s. Like, I'm a pop princess. It's- like. It's glitter.
It's the like early 2000s like middle school quote unquote slut look that isn't slutty at all. But like in middle
not
school, it's
all.
Like oh, homegirl's doing stuff. Like she's doing
like
some
you
stuff.
Could see midriff, and that's it. It wasn't even like significant. It was like a little bit of her belly button. It was like.
Yeah,
not, it's a flashy outfit for sure, but not like very revealing.
But
in
like
my opinion.
eighth grade rumor mill. Oh, She's giving it up.
She's wearing it. And immediately when Ashley comes in, she slut shames her. She's like, do you want to look like a prostitute? And I'm like, Ashley, Jesus.
Exactly. That's what I meant by saying, like, she's the slut. Like, that's that. Any, yeah. It's the assumed thing that it's like, if a girl dressed like that in eighth grade, that she was doing that, even though, like, there's no way that there, literally, number one, she doesn't look actually that. She's not really giving off a lot of her body, like,
yeah. It, I mean, also, just typical, like, misogyny, yeah. Internalized misogyny, exactly. Of, like, you know,
exactly
projecting a lot onto, like, a teenage girl's body. That's like, she looks stupid because the outfit's ugly.
Exactly.
That's about it. If anything, she has no style. But before Ashley came in, Paige is like, okay, like, we're going to get a record deal because of this outfit. And also, we need to change the song. Like, we need to spice it up. And I'm like, I agree. But, like, Terry, when Ashley leaves again, Terry's like, okay, how about we do this? Why don't we, like, make a new version of the song, and then Ashley can hear it, and we can try to convince her, like, hey, this is, like, clearly better. Let's do this. Yeah. So they're like, bet. And they decide to recruit Mr. Simpson, because I guess he at some point showed them, like, his, like, studio set. I don't know what – this class is so confusing. Like, why did he show them this?
Yeah, they were like, oh, Mr. Simpson, you were telling us something about, like, electronic music, like, how you can, like, you can make music with the electronics. And he was like, oh, yeah, synthesizer? And it's like – what, again, what is your job here? What is your role? What are you teaching these kids?
Because my understanding of media immersion, besides it being like a regular, like, kind of computer science class, is also like a communications class. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about, like, communications. And then he's like, oh yeah, I can show you how to remix that fat beat. Like, what? Oh, God. Like, it's so weird. Simpson must have some shit on Radish, which is why he keeps, like, he has a job still. Because, yes. What is your purpose? You don't teach these kids anything. But he's like, we get a little nice little Zit Remedy shout out. He's like, yeah, I was in a band, and he sings Everybody Wants Something. And they're like, he's like, you guys ever heard of us? And they're like, no. Like, literally, why honestly, the would fact I hear that about he, you?
The fact that he honestly, like, because, like, he wasn't being sarcastic with, like, you ever heard of us? And it's like, mm-hmm. he was being serious about it. And I was like, oh.
He's, like, kind of hopeful. But they'd be like, oh my God, yeah. Like, I actually have a Zit Remedy mixtape. Like, yeah. No, he's like, I really hope that they know who I am. And they're like, literally, who are you? Meanwhile, Emma and the crew are rehearsing the dance, and Toby sucks, of course. He's like, they're, like, hitting each other in the head. It's just bad in general. So, yeah. Rough times. So we get back to Simpson, and he's remixing the song, and he's, like, really into it. He's like, he gives us, like, y'all ready for this? God. And I'm like, oh my God. It was so cringe. I couldn't, like, my butthole.
I know. I'm just like, the
was a spin brick. It was a
clenching. The clenching of my butt cheeks. So many things. Okay. I mentally made note of, like, Mr. Simpson is, like, half the DJs in the world, like, that, like, name drop that they're DJs.
Oh, yeah.
That they're like, oh, I make beats. And it's like, okay. And these are their fucking beats. And number two, it's like, what is it with the people on this show thinking that, like, this is music? Like, this is good music. What is up with Ashley's point of view that this is, like, good music? And what is up with Mr. Simpson and then later fucking Terry and Paige okay, thinking that this is a bop?
I'm sorry, but, like, I think it's bop.
Okay.
I thought it was good. I was like, hey. He was mixing that shit, and then when Paige and Terry were, like, singing along to it, I was like, yeah, I was like, oh shit, like, this is
hot. El Sinique.
I was like, yeah, like, yeah, I was like, oh, just tell me.
Oh, I guess, okay,
I was trying to be in the band.
Okay, I guess I need to, like, if I put it in
you
the
hate
context
me so much.
If I put it in the context, I'm, like, relating it to, like, like top charts 100. Like I'm like relating to like really produced music. But if I could, like, I'm comparing it to like fucking think of the Camp Rock soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
Like this,
I actually never, I don't know her. I never seen that movie.
But
I have seen that meme where they're doing the little step thing.
Camp Rock.
They enter and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I know that. I know her. And I was like, that's weird.
So, you know, just like a song version of that where they're like, and it's like Demi Lovato. Like, me watching it now, it's like so dark. Like, it's just like poorly written songs. Like, it's like they're supposed to be like at some like performing arts camp, like Camp Rock. And it's just like, what the fuck is this? And it's someone that like watched Camp and then like the movie Camp and then
I love that movie. What about the musical theater camp?
Yes. That's so good. And then Camp Rock came along and be like, oh, we're gonna give you the Disney version. It's like, I don't want this. I didn't sign up.
I'm pretty sure the movie Camp introduced me to like my love of musical theater. Because I watched it in middle school and I mean I knew musical theater, like I knew what a play was, and I knew like musicals. Yeah. But that was like, I think the movie I watched was like, what are all these other songs? Like, where are these from? Because these are good songs. I'm really into this. That's why I learned what Company was.
Yes, girl.
My life's changed since. Yeah, I was like, thanks for introducing Sondheim to me. I didn't know who he was, and this movie did that for me. Mm-hmm. My sister's laughing at something. Yeah, I don't know. She's cracking up. It's kind of funny that she's like laughing, but I'm not in the room, so I don't know what she can be laughing at.
Like barge and be like, excuse me, I don't know what's going on here, but that's not what you're supposed to be doing when I'm outside the room. That's not.
I'm sorry, but I don't know what's happening over here, but I know I didn't make a joke, so I don't know what the fuck you could be laughing at.
Yeah.
And I just go back and explain yourself. So, okay, I'm sorry. I mean, I have bad taste in things, I'll admit.
But, I mean, I'll admit that I was my expectations for this for Degrassi like produced music, that it was so my expectations were too high.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Later on it gets better though. I will say I can't wait till we get to like the Battle of Bands era where it's like, oh no, these shits like these like songs are like fucking rock. I love it. Wait, but do you think that this version is better than Ashley's version?
Okay. I guess in the definition of catchy, the remix version that they made was catchy.
Yeah.
It's not good, but it's still like catchy, where it's like, again, that kind of beat where you're like kind of like nodding your head, tapping your foot. Ashley's original version had nothing. Like,
absolutely nothing. Go on, girl, give us nothing.
So I would say, yes, you're right. It's definitely better.
Okay, cool. But Ashley does not agree because she hears this music. She's like, that's my song. And she goes into the room and she's like, excuse me, what the fuck? And Simpson's like, hey, like, ladies, it's okay. Like, we still have the original. Like, don't freak out.
Yeah.
And Ashley's now stuck in the middle. I mean, Terry's now stuck in the middle because Ashley's like, okay, you guys changed my song. Paige is like, it's better, sweetie. Like, what do you think, Terry? So they decide to consult the Oracle. Was Simpson here for this whole time? Because if I was as a teacher, I'd be like, what the fuck is that? Because you guys are arguing and now you're doing tarot cards. What?
Then Mr. Ratchet
is this... I would have been like, is this how you guys make major decisions in your life? You just like pull out the tarot?
And then like the next day at school, they're going to have like some like sit down meeting being like, okay, so like black magic is not going to be allowed in school anymore. This is like, and you know, like anytime like teens get into something, they're like, it's getting out of control. We need to stop it while they're ahead.
We might start like another satanic panic. Also, like, I don't think that's how people use tarot. Like, I don't think you ask them.
No.
Like, I've gotten a reading before, and you don't, like, ask a question, and then you find out yes or no. It's more like...
You just get the cards, and you apply it to whatever you
have. It's just, like, it's more like... It's more like you're looking to your spirit guides to kind of, like, guide you into something, as opposed to, like, should I do this, or should I not? Should I eat a ham sandwich? Or peanut butter sandwich. And like the Oracle tells you. No. So But Terry lies. It's very clear she's lying. She's like, actually, it means that we should go with the new. So we're going to keep this a trio, and keep the song. So the next day, Paige and Terry are like all dressed up, and they're, you know, it's before the show starts. So they're like doing a little run through. That's when Ashley comes in with her full black, like, witchy outfit, looking like Phoenix. She comes in, and she's like, I did some research, Terry, and you were wrong. Actually, it means go stay with the old. Like, you lied. Like, we should have da-da-da-da. And why Terry's like, lie? Yeah, and Terry's like, you don't listen to anything I say. Like, I'm, like, your little sidekick. Like, I wanted to do this. It's fun. Like, eh. And Ashley's like, oh, my God, she's upset. But, like, Terry's right. Ashley's bossy. We've seen Ashley just boss Terry around this whole time. Like, Terry wants to live her hot girl life. She wants to be a pop star. Like, let her do this.
Yeah, and Ashley never apologized for saying that, like, why would I ever get advice from you for someone that's never even been on a date? That's never been amended.
Ashley never apologized. I'm pretty sure that happens again. I think she says some slick shit like that to her again. Like, and then season two, like early season two or something. So she just has like a pattern of just being shitty to Terry. So the cabaret begins with Liberty as the MC. She's like a full like fucking tuxedo. I don't know. This character, Liberty, she contains multitudes, because we've seen her just be like this really uptight person. And I don't know if maybe like that rumor like changed her. I don't know. She just seems like very like, oh, and I am also like a little comedian. It was very weird. But Emma's dance begins, and it's very cringe. Everyone is laughing at how bad it is because Toby sucks, and he's like doing almost a very dramatic like death scene. It's very uncomfortable to watch. Emma's like, they're not supposed to be laughing. she's like in her mind, she's like, why are they laughing?
Yeah, she's like, it's like when Lucy made that movie and showed it in class.
And oh, then, yeah.
No, everyone thought it was funny. They weren't getting, like, the feminist take on it.
Yeah, now she's like, wow, no one understands my art. Sean is not having that. So he stands up and he says, oh, shut the fuck up and let them dance. And, like, of course, Emma's just like, oh, my God. Like, I mean, same. I'm like, oh, yeah. God. He, like, would he do anything for my art? So,
the best.
A man who supports my art, I'm so happy. So the girls are still fighting, and Ashley's like basically condemns them to a shitty performance, and she quits. But they go on as Terry and Paige. Yeah. They go on, and it's like it's cute in like that kind of middle school talent show way. Like, it's not good, but it's like, oh, you guys are having fun. You're kind of being like awkward and
yeah. But you know, they're like in the middle school talent show, like they're the one that was like most popular, and like. Mm-hmm. And like they like had like matching outfits, they had like quote unquote choreography and like mm-hmm. a pop song. Like, if I would have been in the audience, I'd be like, oh gosh, I'm so jealous. Like, I should have done something with my friends. That seems so cool.
Yeah, it's like, but fun. It's not great. Like, people are into it. It's not great. It was also like popular girls doing the talent show. Like, they don't really have to do that much. Like, people are gonna like it. But okay, question. So, oh, well, first things first, I realized they were still using Ashley's vocals on the songs. I was like, damn. Like, that's damn. Like, yeah. Oof, not cool. So, the lyrics of this song.
Ooh.
Oh, just tell me how I can be all that you ask of me and still feel that I am free, free to be who I am. This song is clearly about Jimmy.
Right.
Jimmy in the audience, or Aubrey Graham in the audience, looks very sad. And this is the problem with the show, because the acting is still so bad, I can never tell if people are making choices or if this is just bad acting. Exactly. He looks really sad in the audience, like, because Spinner's next to him, he's like smiling, he's kind of like, ooh, like hot girls are dancing. But Jimmy looks upset, and I'm wondering, does Jimmy know this song? Is he feeling this vibe that the song's about me, and that he's like, these lyrics are kind of like odd. Like, they're not like about me in a way like, oh yeah, my man loves me. It's more like, oh, I'm basically trying to be who you want me to be. And he's sitting there, and he looks like he's registering that, but I can't tell if the actor just was bored and just did, was not, didn't know the camera was on him, so he just looked bored, or that was a choice. Like, what do you think about that? Or did you think about that? Am I just overthinking this? Which is also a good answer as well.
I think all of the above. I think I did not see any, I did not see Jimmy's reaction. So I remember Spinner being excited. I think I didn't really look at Jimmy much. I think I just thought that he was forgetting that he was going to be on camera and like, and like in the scene. So like he wasn't, he forgot that he needed to like have a reaction or do something. And so he was just kind of doing nothing, which then, you know, kind of makes you read into it a little bit. I think it could be two things. If I mean, because we have a podcast, we're going to read into it.
Oh,
it could be that he's like, wait, these lyrics are about me. Like, why Ashley feels that way? Why has she never told me this? Then he's like, but is this why she wanted to break up with me? I thought she felt smothered. I thought it was something else. I didn't know that I was like holding you back from being yourself. I think it also could be that maybe he's playing it that he's like angry that Terry and Paige like stole his girl's song and now she's like kicked out of the band, and you know, maybe he's like being angry for Ashley. But it was a lot. All that to say, none of that really came across with his acting.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's like why, yeah, I mean, this is a case of having a Degrassi podcast, is that you're going to read into everything. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it could just be as simple as, I think Aubrey Graham just is not a good actor. It just wasn't reacting the way he should have been reacting in some way, and not just like dead face, like morose, like I don't know. But at the end of the performance, Emma, or at the end of the show, Emma compliments Toby for like, is like, thank you for doing this. This is so great. But before he can like ask her out to hang out, she runs over to Sean and thanks him, gives him a kiss, and Toby's just like, oh, man, I'll never be Sean. It's like, no, Toby, you're just, maybe you need to aim a little bit lower, like someone your height. So
anything.
Literally anyone who's just your height that you can look at eye to eye. Paige and Terry are very hype post-performance. He's like, yeah, we killed it. Like, we're amazing. We're great. They're in the bathroom. And Ashley comes out and she's like actually supportive. She's like, yeah, that was actually good. Like, this was great. And I caught this one thing because, again, I'm always like eagle-eyed for like the weird acting things. Yes. They definitely should have done a second take on this line. Terry says, is trying to say, I think you should join the group again. But she says to Ashley, I think you should join the group again, in a way that sounded like, I think she thought the line was, I think you should join and remember the group again. And it was very like, I was like, y'all could have just done another take. Like, do it again. Like, I was like,
yeah, we're on digital film now. Like, come on.
It's not that expensive. Just do it again. Come on. But anyway, they're like, you know, Ashley's like, okay, I'll be in the group. They argue about the name and Terry gets to be the tiebreaker and they agree we're going to be PMS and this is going to rock. And then the episode ends. They're like, yeah, PMS. Woo.
Woo.
Which I'm sorry. That's a good name. I think it's like a silly name, but it's kind of fun. Yeah. We are PMS. Like,
yeah. It's like one of those ones that's like
the patriarchy.
Exactly. They could definitely be like a real band. And like that name could like be cool. Like it's not like a weird like like two girls, one keyboard. Like it's a pretty cool name, you know.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like, we don't care. Like, we have periods and we can rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the end of the episode. Shall we do our song picks? I feel like we both picked really good songs because this is a fun episode.
I feel like the first one, I don't know. I'm not super confident in my picks. They're still great songs. I'm not confident in my, like, reasoning with my picks. I also just like the songs, so.
I mean, that's fine. Those are reasons.
Don't judge me if you hate it. If you're like, that doesn't make any sense, Lauren, then that's
fine. No, I would never. This is a judgment-free zone.
Thank you.
Unless you're telling me a story about you falling down, then I laugh at you.
Right. As you should.
So I was thinking, okay, I love stories about bands that just can't get together. And like the drama of a group, any group, if it's Fleetwood Mac, if it's the Beatles, if it's the Pussycat Dolls, I love a story about a band just like having all its internal struggles. Like it's fun. Like they're the best stories. And yeah. I decided to go with very hot girl group of the era, Destiny's Child, because we historically had some problems with the lineup. Lots of ins and out. We had our original four, and then LaToya Latavia leave slash kicked out, and are replaced by Farrah Franklin and Michelle. And then Farrah Franklin is fired, and then we end up with Jeff, Michelle, Kelly, and Beyonce, which is like the perfect trio. But they had some struggles, and I decided to choose the song "Survivor" because this song is directly in reference to that kind of, you know, the moving chess pieces of people who are in and out of the band. I think Beyonce said that, like, people were kind of, I think Destiny's Child had kind of gained a bad reputation at this time because of, like, so many moves. It was like, you know, is Beyonce a diva? Like, what's going on in this group that they can't, like, get it together? And I think at some point some radio station had been like, oh, like, being on Destiny's Child is like being in Survivor because it's like, who's going to make it to the end? So the song Survivor is referenced to that. And also, they, it's a diss track to the girlsies, so.
Wow.
Survivor, yeah.
I also chose a Destiny's Child song because.
Yes!
I mean, like, exactly, like, it was like, my choice this week was gonna have to be a girl group, like, it was gonna have to be, but I also was thinking of, like, the shuffler on Destiny's Child, so I chose a song from their like random ass Destiny's Child days of like the extras that were that were in the group that were then cut. So I chose a song from their 1999 album "Writings on the Wall," which is one of the albums that I had on CD.
And I had that hyped. On like on cassette tape.
Oh girl. Thriving. And I couldn't really choose a song that like really fit this song a whole lot, but I chose "Hey Ladies" by Destiny's Child because number one, I like that song. My favorite song on the album is "Temptation," but didn't really fit this episode, so it's just like "Hey Ladies," like, Why does this shit keep on happening to us? Like, kind of like, you know, like, like girl power. Like, let's stick together, ladies. Like, which is kind of ironic because they don't. But it's a good song, and you know, PMS together forever. But yes, very much. I mostly just want a Destiny's Child song because of everything you said of
yes,
the musical chairs that it's, you know, the early days of Destiny's Child.
Oh, that's perfect. Musical chair. Yeah, that's literally what it was, the musical chairs of early Destiny's Child. Ooh, that was tough, but you know, they got there. They got that trio that was, I mean, perfect. It worked. All right, so our next episode is episode 14, "Under Pressure." Synopsis. With exams approaching at Degrassi, the last thing Sean wants is to repeat grade 7 for a second time. When he doesn't finish his media immersions exam on time, he's convinced he has failed again. Stressed to a boiling point, Sean releases his frustrations in a violent way. Meanwhile, Spinner attempts to get sick to avoid taking his English exam, but ultimately gets help from an unlikely source.
Ooh.
Nice. In our cold open, we get Sean, who's working on a bike with his brother, and his brother's like quizzing him. He's convinced that he's going to fail this exam because he's just not getting these answers right at all. His mom called, though, and told his brother Tracker that she's not drinking anymore, which basically implies that Sean might have to, or she's going to want him to to move back with him. And he gets angry thinking about this. He kind of has an outburst while it happens, too, because, like, Tracker says something to him, but it's about something else. But, like, Sean just, like, freaks out and, like, throws shit and, like, gets really upset. So it's like, okay, Sean has white boy anger issues.
Yeah.
We need to unpack that. Preferably in therapy.
Like, homeboy's got some got some rage. Was it? I don't know what it's called, but it's like anger issues, but like where it's like you go from 0 to 100 off of like not appropriate like reasons to get the angry so quickly kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like just very like, okay, like you're really like you need to work, you have anger management problems, like you need to work exactly on that. Yeah, also like very triggering. I like when I like men being angry like in that way, like I'm being anger is a normal human emotion, but like that sort of like really aggro, like oh, like I'm gonna hit stuff, it's like fuck, get away from me, I don't play with that shit, like no. Get away from me. I have talked to you, dated people in the past where as soon as I got inkling of that, I was like, deuces, I ain't talking anymore. Like, I'm gonna fuck around with you getting hype, like, off yeah of, like, shit. Like, that stuff is, nope.
It's very scary because, number one, it's like, this level of, like, oh, if we're in a situation, right, you're, like, either getting to know someone or dating someone you, like, want to have, you're always still in that mode of, like, oh, my best behavior, like, I'm not trying to see, like, make them see, like, all my, like, bad qualities yet. But the fact that, right, like, if someone, like, has no control, like, they, like, have no control to, like, stop themselves from showing that anger, like, in your presence is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that early on, you're already, like, getting all, yeah, like, pissy like, about oh, stuff.
I don't want to know when I'm trigger you somehow. Like, no, thank you.
Right. Nope. I'm also just not, like, a very angry, person. And I'm, like, I'm not, like, a violent person. So, like, anyone, honestly, women, too, it's just, like,
yeah,
I don't want to be around that. Like, it's not a good vibe. But JT is worried about the media immersion test. Actually, everyone seems to be worried about this test, which is stupid because it seems like it's just a trivia test on random facts. Like, it's not even like – that's not how you test kids on how they know anything. It's literally just like, what year was the printing press? Like, that's like not helpful to anyone. Like, just quizzing them on, like, can you remember these random data points as opposed to, like, actually seeing if they understand shit? I don't know. But they're all freaking out about it. And Sean asks Emma to help him study for the test. And of course, Liberty's doing too much. She's like calculating her average, and Simpson's like, bang. Do you, have you ever had a student like that?
Kind of. So, like, as I mentioned, I don't really give grades in my class, but I definitely have, I have students that are very, I don't give them grades because they already have they have another English class with a Chinese teacher that gives them grades, their English grade. And so I'll get questions really from a lot of people about like English, and like Chinese, Mandarin Chinese is a tonal language. So it's like ma are two different meanings. Whereas like with English, like as long as you're pronouncing it with the right pronunciation, doesn't really matter the tone you use. Like obviously sometimes tone matters, but like,
but it matters more for like from like an emotional, like
exactly
how you're feeling versus like the meaning of the word. It's always the same.
And the other day, like for example, the other day someone was asking me about the pronunciation of I think it was all and always, and they're like, so is it, according to the dictionary, it's different. Like there's like all and then always. What's, am I saying it correctly? And they'd be like, all, always, they're different. And when I tell you like the amount of times that they just kept on saying it over and over again, I'm like, it's the same thing. Like every way you're saying it is the right way. Like there's like they kept on changing it.
In this kid's defense, though, it kind of is different, though, because if they're saying, like, the word all, it's just all. But, like, it changes if I say, like, always. Like, I say always. You don't say always, because then it's a bit odd. Like, you're still saying the word, and you're not wrong, technically, but it is, like.
But that's the thing. They were not
even almost, saying it. It almost sounds like, oh, okay. Because like, it's almost like you're saying all of the ways to do something versus, like, something you do all the time, like, always. You know, yeah,
they were saying they were not even giving that pause. They were literally just like all, always, 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 always. And I was like, it's all of them are the same. And then they're just like, but which one's correct? And I'm like, It's too much. It's too fucking much. And then when I'll try to correct them on something like, they're, what's really difficult sometimes is like countable and uncountable nouns. So it's like, they'll say like, China has so many technologies. I have many knowledge. Like those kinds of things, you can't count them as plural. You have to say like, I have so much knowledge, or, you know, there's so many different kinds of technology, things like that. And I'll try to correct them on that. They're like, yeah. But how do we say all and always? Forget it. Fuck y'all.
Fuck these kids. I teach y'all no more English. That's funny. Yeah, I don't know if I was a teacher, how I would handle students who are like that, like obsessed. It's like, please leave me alone. Honestly, yeah, I'm gonna pass all of you. I don't really care.
Yeah, it's the same kind of student where it's just like, you like, because Liberty was the one asking this question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course she was. It's like this person, like the student already fucking knows exactly what, like they have like a 98% point, like they're probably like a 99% in that class.
Yeah, already. you have an A. Like,
yeah, they're the
same. It's really the difference between you having an A and an A plus, and like that does not matter.
Exactly, and so it's like, it's always those students exist everywhere in every situation where it's like you're in a position that like none of this even matters, and you just like are kind. I don't know. You're just asking, and we're getting nowhere with this. So just stop.
Yeah, that's true. So Jimmy passes by Sean, who's at his locker, and says something like, you're gonna miss that locker, eh? And I was like, what does that mean? Like, I also was like, Sean, like, what's that supposed to mean? Like, what are you talking about? But Jimmy, I guess it was kind of a dig, like, about Sean being held back. Yeah. But also, like, Jimmy, okay, this is the thing with Jimmy. Jimmy makes multiple comments to Sean on this episode that's like kind of supposed to be like a joke. I'm like, y'all aren't friends though. Like, Jimmy, y'all aren't cool. Like, you should know. And like, I hate when people do the kind of stuff where it's like they try to play things off. It's just a joke. When it's like, one, we don't have that kind of relationship. Two, mm-hmm. we've had beef in the past that like I can't tell if what you're saying is a joke or if it's serious. And honestly, I think you know that you're not joking. You're trying to be an asshole. But you're trying to play off as like, well, it's a joke. I'm just kidding. It's like, we're not friends.
Yeah. And it's like, to me, like, what is this, like, what is this dig? Like in middle school, we'd be like when someone tries to make a joke and you're just like, nah, that's not funny. Like, it's not, it literally isn't humorous. Like,
yeah, like, what is the punchline? That's not even a joke.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like, your joke doesn't make any sense. And Jimmy is like, yeah, just like that lame, like that cool kid that like isn't funny, and you're like, so why are you popular again?
Like, because he's tall.
He's the tall, like brown kid on the basketball team that's close enough to blackness. Well, he's black. Sorry,
he's not even on the team. Remember, he got cut. So
yeah, but
yeah, why is he popular? We don't know.
Who knows?
Literally no reason. Spinner's also in the hallway fucking around. Paige trying to get him to go to class for Radich sees, but oh, it's Quan. Our girl is back.
The bitch is back.
Yes, she is back. But she's got a little levity to her because in class, you know, she tells him a little bit about how her husband, you know, he had cancer has cancer and is going through chemo. She seems a little bit like, you know, like she's gotten a little bit of a break from these kids. She's coming back. She needed a breather. She's like a lot less tense. This Oscar kid who he keeps seeing, who just gets lines, but we don't fucking know him, is like, Miss Quan, could I go to the nurse's office? And she's like, oh no, I hope Oscar isn't getting what's going around. These flus come around, people are under stress, which is important. Because Spinner's like, But also I would always get sick after finals. Mm. Like clockwork, I would, without fail, I would get like some sort of cold after finals. Because it's true. Like, your immune system is weakened when you're stressed out, so you're just more susceptible to all that shit. Sean brings Emma over to his place, and he's going to grab his books, but he doesn't want her to come in because he's like, you know, my place isn't like yours. Like, I live in a dump. So while she's waiting, Tracker shows up. Okay, Tracker's hot.
Trucker is hot.
Like, he's hot as fuck. Like, he's like, very good looking. Yeah, he's like, he's wearing like a nice little brown leather jacket. And I was like, cute.
He's got the look that's like, oh, you could be like, you could be like a model.
Yeah, he's like really, like, he's very good looking.
Yeah, he could be like, he's like one of those guys that like wasn't like the hot guy in school, but like when you like look at him now, you're like, oh, you're hot. Like, you were hot. You are hot.
Yeah, we just didn't think you were hot because you were poor, and that's fucked up. Like, that's really what it is. Exactly. Well, it's why Jimmy's popular. Jimmy's not even that interesting. He's just rich. It's like someone like Tracker, like, also would have been hot in school, but like he just was poor. So no one looked at him really, but like he was actually attractive.
Yep. Damn. Okay, Tracker. Look at you.
Is that his real name? Tracker? that has to be a nickname.
It's, I mean, they live in the, according to Justine, what'd she say? It's like the, where they're from is like the, like, Jersey Shore of Canada.
Of Canada.
So.
I guess, yeah.
It must be like, I mean, like, it, you know, everyone's got a nickname on the shore, so.
Yeah. So his name is like probably really like Travis or something. Maybe call him Tracker. I don't know.
Tracker. Yeah. It's hot, though.
It is hot. He gives me, like, big dick energy, for sure.
Yes, girl. That's why
he's tall and skinny. So, of course.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly.
So, he, like, shows up. And last time we saw him and Emma interact, it was, like, very hostile. Right. And he kind of is still trying to do it. And I'm like, she's a kid. Like, maybe, like, lay off her a little bit. Even though he's, like, joking, it's still, like, don't. So he's like, oh, like, what are you doing here? You're here to do some investigative journalism, see how the other half lives. You're here to save, you're to save Sean, huh? You think you're Michelle Pfeiffer? And I was like, no, we're here to study. And he's like, yeah, he's like, you're a good influence on him. And I'm like, okay. Aww. But who's like a good influence on you, Tracker? That's my question.
Who's, like, influencing your life and making, you know, some positive
Right. Who's
impressions?
Making sure that you drink water and take your vitamins, you know?
Yeah. Who's that?
Because I could do that for you. Who makes vegetables for you? Because I could do that.
I could heat up a nice steam fresh for you, you know? You know, Tracker's a, like, a hungry man, XL type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not, if it doesn't come in the frozen aisle, like, he's not getting it.
Yeah.
And I could change
true.
That for him. I could ease him into it. Like, you know, like, because if you try to cook him, like, some, like legit things, he's like, nah, I don't want that. Get me my Salisbury steak. But you got to ease him into it, like, bit by bit. Instead of box mashed potatoes, you're making homemade mashed potatoes. Instead of canned green beans, we're upgrading to, like, you know, the crisp. Frozen ones and then eventually fresh, like, you know.
That's true. You gotta ease them into it. You don't want to scare them away.
Oh no.
You're like, yeah. And like, you make him a big dinner, but like, you just watch him eat, you don't eat.
Yeah. He's the type of guy that's like, it's like, I never deserve love. I don't know what love is, so like, I'm gonna self sabotage. So you have to like really, like, even if he fights it and he treats you like shit, like, you've got to stick around to the end, you know?
Yeah, even when he dumps you, he's like, I'm not doing this. And like, you're just saying this because you're afraid of love, and you just stick around.
Yes.
You're just afraid. Yes. You're just not useless. You push anyone away who loves you. Well, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm going to love you as much as I can. Keep pushing me away, I keep coming back. So basically, I'm a stalker.
Yes.
Like, standing outside his house, like, Tracker, I have meatloaf.
I know. Myself. Yeah. Oh, Tracker's going to like ruin my credit. He's gonna like. Oh, he's gonna ruin me. I'm gonna need therapy after that.
Tracker's gonna ruin my credit. Tracker will probably give me HPV. Tracker will absolutely cheat on me all the time. But like,
you're definitely getting pregnant. He is not. He's not fucking you with that condom. He's raw dogging you.
Yeah.
And you let him do it because you're just like, okay, Tracker.
Like, okay. I'm like, okay, babe.
Yeah, like, it's like, oh, no, that's okay. It's, no, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah. He asks you if he's on the, if you're on the pill, but he doesn't care. Like, he just, he really asks as a formality. He doesn't listen to what you say. As you say no, it's too late.
Because literally, Tracker is the man in like 30 years that has like literally 10 kids from 10 different women. Mm-hmm. And doesn't pay child support.
No. That's okay. But
I could be the one that changes them.
We could change that. We're going to get that those checks.
Isn't this fucking Future? Just the white man version of Future.
Do we really just
Tracker's literally Future. The Canadian white male equivalent of Future.
Yo, we really just like... Wow. But yeah. He's Future. You're right. I don't care. I'm still going to make him veggies. So at Emma's house, Emma's attempting to teach Sean like a mnemonic device. It's not working. They kind of tease each other a little bit and get into like a towel fight. And he says like, you want to mess with me? I'm big trouble. He's joking. But she like the music starts. So she's like, yeah, Tracker had a mention.
I heard you are big trouble.
I heard you are. Like, what happened? So... Sean explains that back in Masega Beach, or what is it, Masega or Wasega?
Masega? One of those.
I don't know. In that beach town he lived in, that he got into a fight with a guy back then and like ended up like deafening him. I was like, damn, how hard you hit him, boy? Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Pretty hard, clearly. So hard as fuck. So, like, really, what? Like, you fucking, like, that's, like, wild. If my boyfriend in middle school told me that, I'd be like.
Oh, my God.
First off, you can do that? That was my first question. It's like, that's possible.
This is the first and only time I've ever heard this happening. But I assume, like, I know, like, with, like, wrestling and stuff, like, the, like, that's why they started wearing those protect, I mean, there's many reasons why they wear the protective ear coverings now with wrestling. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, your ears, like, they, like, if you damage your ear, like. They don't heal. Like, literally nothing about your ears heal. It's just broken.
And your sight. It's like once you fuck it up, it's like it's just like by like, okay, you wanted to go to Panama and get your eye color changed, like on that episode of Tyra, you dummy. Like now you're blind. Like, that's just what it is. Like,
it always goes back to Tyra and I love it.
I love that episode. That girl is so stupid. So he's like, yeah, I get really mad sometimes, but I'm working on my anger. And then the popcorn burns.
Red flag.
And I was like, Emma, there's a lot of red flags here. We need to unpack this. But it's time for the media immersion tests. It's online, so very high tech.
21st century.
The password is Broomhead. And I'm like, yes.
Wait, it really is?
Yeah. He's like, Simpson is like, you click on a link. He said, password is Broomhead. And something. And I was like, ah, I a little shout out. That. Yeah, a little shout out to, you know, the old times. So, yeah, it literally is a trivia test. Like, the questions are so stupid. And I'm like, this, I would hate tests like this because, like you need to memorize facts.
You have to memorize the study guide, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, that's not helpful. So, Spinner's beginning to scheme, right? Terry's gotten sick. So he's like all up in her personal space. Like, he's clearly trying to get himself sick. And at some point, he like takes her drink to like throw out for her because Armstrong is like, you know, throw that out. And he like full on like licks, like he like puts his finger on like the rim and licks. I was like, that is so triggering in a post pandemic like world. God. I was like, oh, no. Like, you might as well just go lick a doorknob. Like, it's the same.
Spinner is gross. Spinner is that guy that's like, I don't know, that like one kid in school that would like do all like the nasty shit without people asking him to,
like eating a cicada or putting like, because there were literally kids like that in our middle school, like in the cicadas, the 17-year cicadas were out, and they're like, "Hey, look, yes. I'm putting my mouth," and I'm like, literally, no one asked for this. Why are you doing this? No one dared you.
I saw a TikTok. I wish I would have saved it. I saw something on TikTok, and it was like. You guys remember those boys that would eat cicadas at school just like to eat them? And it's like, that's exactly who Spinner is. Spinner is that kid that's like, oh yeah, like no one's daring him. No one's like putting him up to it. He's just like, I'll eat a cicada. Want to see? It's like, no.
Not particularly, stop no. Looking
cups to get sick, to get out of a test.
He was a kid weirdo. Who definitely did that. Like, I used to hate when people did this. The eye trick where you flip your eyelid. And they're like, look. And like they're looking around, like their eyelids flip. I'm like, can you stop? Like, this isn't fucking Fear Factor. Like, I'm trying to learn.
Russell in elementary school was that kid.
Yeah, like I know several, and I'm just like, I'm trying to like learn about Charlotte's Web, and you're distracting me with your eyes because they're scaring me. I don't like that. I don't like that you're doing that.
The funny thing is, the kid that did that in elementary school was super weird and like not like I'm talking about like he did that, and then he was like all the weird things that you could have, the qualities he had, all of them in one person. And of I remember course. He went to different middle school and high school. But I remember he became like a lifeguard when we got into high school, and my mom saw him one day. She was like, oh, that kid he used to go to school with, Russell, was at the pool. And then I remember seeing him, and I was like, he got like hot, like a movie, like where it's like, oh, so-and-so got hot over the summer. He got like smoking hot, but like I couldn't see past him being the eye flipper, like the eyelid flipper. I was like, nah.
He no, probably does of course some weird not.
Shit now too. He's just hot.
He probably now. Does weirder shit now, which like you and you might like it because he's hot. So you might like look past it, but it's like no, like the guy. Listen, the pipeline between the guys who ate the cicadas and flipped their eyelids, and the guys who like don't put sheets on their mattress and sleep bare. Oh, that's the same person. Is sick. Like you're sick, and you're gonna murder someone. Specifically,
that also that TikTok trend of like. Girls showering at frat houses in their boyfriend's bathroom. That's also on the pipeline.
Yeah. I would never. It's disgusting. During the media immersion test, though, Sean is like struggling and doesn't finish. And Liberty taunts him, which is not cool. But he's like not happy. She's a
fucking bitch,
she's
man.
She's a bitch. And she's like, 45 minutes, meep, and like slides away. I would have like punched her. That's why you should have been angry and fucking pushed her. Because like, yes. What? Like you just saw me like freak out. Like, I wasn't done. Like, he's failed clearly, or he thinks, or he probably did. And you're just like, sorry, time's up. Like,
yeah,
asshole. Like, Liberty ew. It's like you have no friends.
That's like walks out of the. Everyone's like, after the test, everyone's kind of chatting, being like, oh my gosh, like, what'd you get for this? What'd you get for that? And then Liberty is the type of person, everyone's like kind of confused about one question, because there's always that one question that everyone like kind of was confused about, that you know that since everyone's kind of confused, the teacher's probably gonna throw out the question or whatever. But like Liberty is the one person that's like, oh, you guys did another one? You didn't? He talked about that in the second week. Like, it's like she's that person. It's like, literally, okay, the worst person. Shut up.
God, she's terrible. So Jimmy once again teaches Sean about forgetting, because he's trying to do his combo. He's like, oh, you forget your combo. Like, he's just like, Jimmy, shut the fuck, go away.
I know.
So he keeps fucking him and like fucking him. He keeps fucking with him. And it's like, y'all aren't friends. Let's leave this boy alone. So it escalates and they start pushing each other. Kind of hard. The actors were kind of like, I was like, oh, ouch. Like,
they
pushed. Do y'all really hate each other?
Listen. And the fucking, whatever Drake's video that he had all the Degrassi people in.
Sean wasn't in it.
Nope.
I was like, listen. Was there actual tension? Because the way they pushed each other was like, oh, like, you guys are like really trying to fight?
Or I what? Feel like, you know what it probably was? Because pre-Drake, right? Drake is now the superstar of this show, right? But like, and this is pre-Craig, pre-everything. Jimmy, you would think that like Jimmy's supposed to be like the heartthrob of the show. Jimmy is never the heartthrob of the show, because he just
not
like
once, not once, no.
And you know what? You know, like partially on Degrassi for, you know, not wanting to put a black male as the main heartthrob of the show, whatever. And, but also partially just on the acting and just like the way he was coming across. Sean was the hot guy that like, you know, like the girls were all like. Being over, like, who fucking cares about Ashley and Jimmy? Like, we care about Emma and Sean. And I'm wondering if, like, deep down, Aubrey Graham was like, man, fuck Sean.
Maybe, because most of these shows, there's like an alpha couple and a beta couple. Like, uh-huh. Typically, like the main couple, I think Degrassi wanted to be Jimmy and Ashley, and it wasn't. Like, I don't know, I think the Emma-Sean chemistry was just like stronger, just kind of more interesting. Yeah. Is it more interesting a relationship, to be honest, than Ashley and Jimmy? Because they kind of just, they're kind of boring. Like, they're not that exciting.
But even Ashley got fucking bored of it.
Yeah, like immediately. She's like, I'm going to write this sad song and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it escalates and Sean's like, I'm going to see you after school. So it's like, oh, bet they're going to fight. Spinner is like, he's just doing antics. Like, he's running around the hallway and, you know, he gets sent to the nurse because it seems like he's warm. But Ashley is trying to convince Jimmy not to fight Sean. And there's this very weird part in the scene where we get a close-up of Hazel. So, because first you get Ashley being like, I can't believe you're going to try to fight, you know, Sean, da-da-da. I think Terry kind of jumps in, or Paige does. Paige does something about, like, he deafened a guy. You probably shouldn't fight him. And then Hazel, we get, like, a zoom in on Hazel. Hazel, who has hardly said anything. And she says, so, is it true? Are you really going to fight Sean? And the scene just ends. And it's like, I don't know if they're trying to go for like the everyone's talking about it, but it just was a weird moment of like, why is she?
Yeah.
It was really random.
Very much
but
so.
Like,
I agree.
This is a random thing that they did. Sean ends up being late to media immersion. He has an attitude and gets attention. Like, you know, because Sean is really just on one these days.
Yeah.
And Spinner. This whole Spinner's backstory is stupid. He goes to the nurse to tell him he has like a high temperature, but the nurse checks his temp and he's fine. Then the nurse has this weird thing where he's like, I guess he's to scare kids back to class. He implies that he's going to stick a thermometer up their ass, which is very inappropriate. And I'm also wondering, so what the fuck are you going to do if one of these kids calls your bluff? You pull that Vaseline out with that swab and like, okay, drop their pants and they're just like, let's go. What are you going to do?
Exactly. And then you're going to end up fucking on the sex offender register list.
Right.
Need a job. What's going to happen to you, sir? Yeah.
Or I would totally be the student who goes home like, yeah, the nurse told me he's going to stick a thermometer in my ass.
Yeah, mom. All that shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting it to happen at the nurse. I was low-key thinking it was going to happen with some of these other teachers that give me weird vibes. But, you know.
Things happen. Mm-hmm. Spinner returns to class and Quan pulls him aside. He's like, listen, you guys, I know you're trying to pull, which I love her. She's one of those great, like, hard-ass teachers who's actually a sweetie. She's like, I want you to, like, channel your energy into this test. Just try, like, to calm down. Like, you took your Ritalin. You're going to be fine. Like, you know, quit with all these little antics because you're actually a very smart student, but you just don't apply yourself. So let's, like, just, you know, let's try this again. Try to give you another chance. So that was a sweet moment between the two of them. I loved seeing Quan being so, like, kind to him and, you know.
Because we all fucking know how Spinner was to her.
Yeah, he was terrible. Quan's been, like, she's been going to therapy. She's really been, like, working on herself. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to try to regroup and just, like, reprogram myself and come back and, you know, not let these kids get to me.
Exactly.
So Simpson also has a heart-to-heart with Sean after, like, during his detention, and Sean is just convinced that he failed the test, he's a failure in life, blah, blah, blah. Simpson's like, you know, I guess if you believe that, that's the way it's going to be, which, you know, that's kind of Sean's – kind of becomes Sean's entire, like, motif in the show is, like, I'm a failure, so I'm just going to fuck up when he doesn't have to fuck up.
Yeah.
He kind of chooses to fuck up in a lot of ways. Spinner celebrates potentially passing the test, but Jimmy is rearing up. He's getting ready to fight Sean. And Ashley's like, listen, I'm not going to be there. I'm not ready to do this. But, like, even before that, Jimmy does go to Sean and tries to be like, okay, let's not do this. Like, whatever. And so Sean punks him. He's like, oh, okay, you're a coward. Like, so you got cut. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, Sean. Sean's ready to fight. Like, he was, like, not even, like, didn't faze him. He's like, I was going to kick your ass. So...
Yeah, I love how, like, Sean was like, that's why you got cut for the team. And then Jimmy was like, you were the one, you got in my way, and you're the one that faked an injury. And it's like, wait, rewind. Jimmy, are we forgetting the time that you took Spinner's spinners
for Ritalin. You were high on Ritalin?
And you full on like body slammed Sean to the ground. Your teammate.
Like you ran to him. Because Sean wouldn't pass the ball to you. So you ran to him and pushed him into
the ball. Jimmy.
Like a petulant child. Like, what do you mean?
What is this revisionist history, sir?
Jimmy like fully just like, totally misremembered. I guess he's on speed. So he didn't even realize like that's literally not even what happened. Right. Has anyone talked to Jimmy about that? Like, no, Jimmy, you literally ran to him. You went out of your way. You duck and weave. You bobbed and weaved around other players to get to him. Just to fucking punch him out.
Come on.
Make your three-pointer as he sat on the ground holding his ankle.
For a scrimmage.
For a fucking scrimmage. And that's what you got cut. So anyway, yeah, Jimmy's terrible. So everyone's in the alley and they're all like, oh, it's gonna be a fight, I would have been in the alley. I'm like, ooh, let's see a fight. And it's like the finals are over and I'm about to see a fight. This is great. This is a great week for me.
We all know you love a fight. You love a fight.
Yeah, girl, I love a fight. Like, I love it. So they're all like, Emma's trying to convince Sean not to fight, but he's like, get out of here, Emma. Like, he's like pacing, like, I'm trying to get, like, be like a man, like, I'm trying to get my testosterone. I don't know. Can men control their testosterone? Like, before a fight, are they like, and then they get their testosterone, like, all, like, flowing? I don't know.
That's what happens in football locker rooms. I feel like they're, like, just, like, slapping each other's helmets until they, like, feel something. It's weird.
Just like making ape noises, like just getting ready to fight. Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
pretty weird. So he's getting like hyped to do this fight, and the fight starts. Emma, I'm like, Emma, you need to move because Emma's like standing in the middle. Like, girl, you little skinny mini, you need to go stand over there. But they start fighting. They're rolling in the leaves, and like, you know, first like Sean gets kind of punked, and then Sean like kind of hits Jimmy in the face. It's like a whole fight. And Emma tries to, at one point, they're up still fighting, and Emma's like, I know, me, I will be the one to stop this fight. These two boys are fighting. She's like, I can stop this. So she goes and she's like, Sean, and pulls him, and he like flips out, which I guess is just kind of like, it obviously wasn't intentional, but still very much a problem. Because he's in the middle of a fight. He's like, Emma, get out of here, and pushes her. And, like, she falls down on the ground. And she backs away in shock. She's, like, shaking her head, like, no. I can't believe it. It's like, girl. Yeah. He's, like, not okay.
Yeah.
And I guess the fight ends because everyone's like, whoa, the girl got hit. Ooh. I guess too far.
Like, it's like that thing. I was like, oh, man, you hit a girl? Like, nah, I can't. It's like, we were literally beating someone else up. Like, violence,
yeah, like it's all violence.
Come on,
like, yeah. So she leaves and it's like, oh man, Sean, you fucked up. So Jimmy's like filling Spinner and Terry in about what happened. Ashley's angry. She's like, I don't even want to, like, fuck you. Like, oh, you're like, you guys are stupid and like leaves, basically.
Yeah.
Spinner is excited. It's finally the weekend, but he's actually sick. So because you know you're licking people's cups, like.
Fucking starting coronavirus. Jesus.
Literally, he's patient zero. Simpson finds Sean and lets him know that he actually did well. Even though he didn't finish, it's very clear Simpson kind of gave him – he graded the test based off of what he did do. He gave him a little chance because, you know, it's nice when teachers do kind of, you know, give you a moment. Yeah. He's excited about it. He sees Emma and goes over and it's like, I actually passed. And it's like, I'm sorry, like – what happened? But like, hey, you know, I passed. And she's like, fuck you, bitch.
It's like, yeah.
Not interested. She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. He's like, I'm really sorry. And I was like, I'm sorry too. It's like, classic TV trope. And being like, oh, they almost had something, you know, and then, you know, he fucked up big time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's too good and he's too bad. They can't, you know.
Oil and water. These two can't. They can't mix.
Exactly. Exactly. No. Not yet.
So, at least not yet. But yeah. So the episode ends, and Sean's distraught. He let his anger ruin a relationship he had going, which is not great.
Damn.
Song.
I chose, I had a hard choice this week, or I had a hard time picking one, but I was thinking in a kind of way of like, okay, what music is kind of like personifying how Sean is feeling and like his like family situation and life situation and feeling like that he has no control over things. So I feel like it's in the way of like his anger, in the way of like this test, and it's like, oh, all these bad things keep on happening to me, like I can't control it. It's like, you can, like adult Lauren is telling you that you can, but you know, in the moment, mm-hmm. that with everything it's hard. And then everyone's fucking stressing out about these finals and having panic attacks. So I chose Harder to Breathe by Maroon 5, back when okay. Maroon 5 was making bops and great music, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But yeah, it's just like kind of like you know, hard, not hard rock, but like a kind of like a punching kind of rock song that like if you're angry about something you can listen to and kind of like feel like some sort of release as like a teenager. And so I felt mm-hmm. like it's very much of like there was like a montage of like Sean like walking down the street and like kicking trash cans and like hitting cement walls and shit. Like I feel like this could be playing in the background.
Nice. I think it's a great choice. So I went with a song. I was thinking more about like the Sean Emma relationship. I think from Ooh. Emma's perspective, because she finds out that like you know Sean has these troubles, but at least when they're together, he's not like that. Like he's not aggressive. Yeah. He's not mean. He's actually like you know quite nice, and they have a nice time together. But he definitely has a reputation and like an outward facade, I think, to other people yeah. of being this really aggressive person and being like very like you know. Bad boy, but like actually when you get to know him, he's not really like that. So I went with the bop, Avril Lavigne's Complicated.
Bitch, I almost chose that one. I'm glad you did.
I wish you had. One of these days we're gonna be aligned and we're both gonna have the same song. But love that song. I was reading the lyrics. I haven't really listened to a song in a long time. I was like, oh, this is perfect. It's yeah. about like, you know, when you're around everybody else, you become someone else, you're doing the whole like aggressive like human thing, but like when it's just us, like you're cool. It's like, why can't you just be who you really are in front of everybody instead of who you think everyone wants you to be?
Why do you have to go and make things so complicated, you know?
Yeah, acting like somebody else makes me frustrated. I'm not gonna do anymore. It's a great song.
So good.
Yeah. Yes, man, that is our episode. I loved that. Was fun. Those are two really good ones, actually.
Yeah, they were.
I enjoyed. I mean, so far I don't think we've really encountered any episodes that were really slump, like fillers. No. They all felt kind of pretty good. But again, I think we might have nostalgia glasses on, so everything just is great. Yeah,
but I think though these in the kind of the whole timeline of Degrassi, I feel like when you think of like first season Degrassi, like right now, mm-hmm. these are the filler episodes because there's a lot of like episodes we've recapped that like will have no impact at all on like future mm-hmm. things.
That's true.
And the kind of real drama when we think of like the kind of real moments, like when it comes to like Manny and Jade, like all the characters like have yet to happen, have yet to be set up and everything. So
mm-hmm.
That's kind of like exciting that kind of like the filler moments are kind of all happening now, that like when we get further in, we're gonna be like getting into all the shit of it all, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. But it's on that note, next week we do have one that's like one of like the most, I think, in my opinion, one of the most iconic like early Degrassi Next Generation episodes. Episode 15, which is the season finale of season 1, Jagged Little Pill. In this episode, Ashley is tired of being a perfectionist and turns her end-of-the-year slumber party into an out-of-control rager. Meanwhile, JT brings an ecstasy pill. For Toby, Sean, and himself, when Ashley consumes it, things go from bad to worse. Also, Sean wants to make up with Emma, but Emma is still angry at Sean for his actions in the previous episode. So we've got our first, this is our first like drug. I've had alcohol, but it's our first drug episode. So very excited. I think we might possibly have a guest for this one. Yes. I hope we do, because this is an iconic episode and it's very funny and very quotable and very kind of silly.
Yes. And it's one of my, you know, my favorite setups are the teens doing bad things, the teen parties, the house party things that, again, I just thought I would have more experience in as a teenager. But, you know, it's fine.
Right. Absolutely. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. Keep tuning in. We've got some really great stuff coming on the pipeline. Don't forget to, as always, rate, review, subscribe. Please leave a review, even if it's just one word. It's good for the algorithm. We appreciate it. Just say, exactly. It's good. It's great. It's all right. Whatever it is, write something. I mean, that's all I have to say. How about you?
Yep. I couldn't have said it better.
Thank you. All right. As always, we will catch you later, Broomheads.
Bye, Broomheads.